Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor and two great guests today. But before we get started, Lee.
Yes.
Today's the big day.
The day before Thanksgiving?
The day before Thanksgiving, in the day that I swap out my Kenny. I go from the everyday Kenny Rogers to the holiday Kenny Rogers. It is a big day.
It's monumental.
It's monumental. Yes.
How did they start work on your kitchen?
They started work on the kitchen. They did a couple bump outs. I've got some holes so they could see where the ducts were. Mm-hmm. Not as in the Aflac ducts, right. But where the ducts with the T were. And so they've started a little bit, but on Friday they're doing the big demo. So
are all your kids excited? Are they going to get to throw the sledgehammer around?
Yeah, the kids are excited. I'm going to bust the place up a little bit myself.
You know, you could do that as a fundraiser.
Knock
down some walls.
Always thinking.
Charity.
Always thinking, Lee. Always thinking. Well, I understand we have two guests today that are always thinking as well.
It's the, I guess this is the ATDC show.
ATDC.
You know what that is? The Advanced Technology Development Center show.
So it's not like Back in Black? I don't have to do my Angus Young impersonation for you.
Well, it was nice of you to wear that little Girl Scout uniform in honor of that. Well, let's start the show. We have Ms. Cindy Cheatham with us. Ms. Cheatham is the Director of Business Development at the Advanced Technology Development Center, ATDC, a nationally recognized science and technology incubator that helps Georgia entrepreneurs launch and build successful companies. Thank you for being here, Cindy.
Great to be here today.
So you got any funny incubator stories for us?
Oh, there's always a lot of great stories. Good news is I think a lot of great companies coming to ATDC. We've accepted 8 new ones in the last quarter, which is a good trend for us, and they're all over the board from solar panels to other exciting software and hardware. So, but there's always a lot of war stories. I'm sure that Izenda and Sanjay could share some of those more vividly with you later on. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do and what you're about?
Sure. Well, we were founded about 1980 by some innovative Georgia Tech grads who were tired of having all the talent leave Atlanta. So we have a long history of our mission is to grow the technology business base in Georgia. How do we do that? We first of all work with great companies. We're very selective in picking one out of 10, the best companies, and we surround them with consulting, community, a great facility to operate in, connections to customers and investors, and a whole range of other things.
So it's the whole thing, soup to nuts. Like a person comes to you with can they come to you with just an idea and a business plan?
They can. We will work with them and support them, and in many cases we'll help them take that concept, evaluate it, and even put some team around it. Typically, they enter as a member a little bit further along when they have a little bit of validation of their customer need. They have an alpha or a beta product. And it's a full-time, we require a full-time commitment of at least one or two team members so that they truly demonstrate that they have skin in the game.
So at any given time, how many ideas do you have on the plate? I mean, how many things are you looking at?
It's a good question. I don't think we even track fully the number that we have, but we look at a couple hundred companies a year.
Wow.
But again, we're not probably doing our best. I know that I talk to a million people that I never enter into our database. So it's quite exciting. We just had a program where we had 100 companies. This was not our incubator program. We also have some outreach programs where we had 100 companies apply and only 15 got in. So that was just one effort to the community that happened over the course of a month.
Now, what exactly can you describe what your facility is like? Is it just room after room of small business people, you know, trying to make things happen?
Well, first of all, we're in the center of a very exciting development that's a couple years old. Basically, there was a dream to bring Georgia Tech to the other side of 85. And so the Synergy development is part of bringing Georgia Tech over to the other side of the highway. So we're in the middle of the intersection of business, university, small business, and established business. We have in our building Accenture, large established companies, and many small startups. So we designed our facility. We were the anchor tenant to get our building built, which is a couple hundred million dollar development, with a lot of flexibility, demountable walls, fully furnished space, shared boardroom, shared conference room, shared copy room. So there are suites ranging from a couple hundred square feet for the one or two person organization that You know, obviously entrepreneurs don't want to spend ahead, but right. then they can migrate up to suites as large as 3,000 or 4,000 square feet.
Now, do you said you help them in a variety of different ways. Like, can you take us through what happens? Like, a typical person comes up to you, they apply, I guess. I guess you can go to the website, atdc.org, and there's admission process and criteria.
Sure, sure. How does it work? Well, it works in a lot of different ways. Just like anything, yes, people come to us cold, and sometimes through the website, or they, if they're persistent, they'll give us a call and try to reach somebody live. But there's also, we reach a lot of people through our programming, and so we get to know them through an executive summary, through a meeting, through a business plan. We will meet if the business looks like it has some fit with our high growth potential. We're not looking for a small business. We're looking
right.
for companies that can really, you
scale,
know, be
right.
IPO-able, or, you know, they can grow into 10, 20, $50 million companies at mm-hmm. least. So we have a, kind of a narrow criteria of companies. If they fit that model, then we'll go the next step, and we'll definitely meet with them. They'll pitch to us, typically like they would to an investor. One of us takes the lead as a venture catalyst. If we're thumbs up, just like an investor firm, we'll bring in a second partner. And then if we all, if the two of us agree, then we'll take it to a full staff for a consensus decision.
And to what extent does the company need to be involved with Georgia Tech?
Well, it is kind of a myth that they have to be. The truth is, Georgia Tech is one of our greatest assets, but it's definitely not a requirement.
Okay.
And in fact, I think only about 40% of our companies have a Georgia Tech affiliation, and that those range from somebody like a Sanjay of Izenda, who's an alumni. We do have companies that spin their technology out of Georgia Tech and form a company around it. That's the most intimate relationship. But then we have UGA grads. I'm a Tar Heel. We have people from all over, from MIT and Purdue. So it's not a requirement. But I would say that most of the companies like the association because they can also get more access to talent.
Right. They can tap into the
right.
all the students there, right? Now, what is the cost for the entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's a good question. The cost is that we expect a participation in our community. A big part of the way we work is it's a peer model where we want our companies to be actively engaging with one another, both to learn and support one another. So that's one. It's a little bit of an investment of their time. They also pay rent, but it's a highly subsidized rent, albeit not the cheapest rent in town if compared to your basement or
right.
or some, you know, far off place in
the
burbs.
Well, it's in a desirable.
Yeah, location. So it's a building for a C price,
right?
With fully furnished and a lot of very flexible. They only have to commit to 60-day terms, whereas they would have to put their life on the line in many cases to get a lease somewhere else. They also, we just instituted a couple years ago for the first time some small membership dues. It starts at $1,000. But that's barely covering the free lunches that they get. There's a lot of benefits, free memberships to the Technology Association of Georgia, free membership to AEA. So, but we do believe that that's worthwhile to again,
right.
demonstrate their commitment to hopefully utilizing those services.
So is the program non-for-profit?
We are a line item in the state budget.
Oh, okay.
That gets funneled through the University System of Georgia. And I am actually an official staff member of Georgia Tech. But again, we're not exclusive to Tech, but we use the HR and other resources of Tech so that we can have access to those resources. So we do raise a little bit of sponsorship money from lawyers and accountants and whatnot that like to have access to our companies. But for the most part, we are state funded.
Okay.
For the purpose of economic development. In fact, there was a model done a year back or so that showed that the return to the state. To the state tax holders, has been $100 million from all the payroll
right.
and the jobs created and the revenue.
Now, how many of the businesses that have come through there have been that home run that really achieved what you anticipated them achieving?
Well, we've had a number of very good home runs. The most famous that obviously is struggling a little bit more than it once did was Mindspring. They started with us when they were about 10 people. Mm-hmm. And obviously went IPO and got bought out by Earthlink and grew thousands of jobs. We've also had a number of other companies go IPO. There's a company here in town called Theragenics. That's a medical device company that has a prostate cancer device. And there's four or five companies that have gone public and dozens that have been acquired by publicly traded companies and whose products are still thriving within those companies. So we've had a pretty good track record. We also, on the other hand, with some home runs, have had a pretty good success ratio compared to the average startup. You know, 4 out of 5 fail. If you look at our numbers since 2002 of our members, 84% of those are still in business. Wow. So you know, a lot of times when you're shooting for home runs, you have a very high failure rate.
Right, but you're still getting on base.
Yeah.
And that's good, too.
Yeah.
Right. So it may not have met your initial expectations, but they're still hanging in there, and you never know down the road.
Right.
How exciting. So all of these ideas, can you share with us anything that's been out of the ordinary? I mean, anything that's gotten you excited?
That's a good question.
Or they have to get you excited for them to even be there, right?
Well, I would imagine. But anything, I mean, it seems like these inventive minds are always thinking. I read about the Thomas Edison Fund that's being set up. And you think about it, you know, from a perspective of childhood all the way to adults, there are people that are always thinking. And you see those ideas.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I never have a day that I'm bored, and that's why I love what I do. A couple that I'll share with you. There's a company called IntelliHealth. That I don't know about you, but I've got aging parents. I spent a lot of my college career working with seniors that were homebound and just great people, but struggling, and a lot of caretakers that were struggling to figure out how to take care of them when they were remote. So IntelliHealth has developed a web service to enable remote monitoring of the informal caregiver, not the doctor, not the nurse, but the typically the son, the daughter, the niece, the nephew that is trying to help stay on top of the health and wellness, not only physical but mental, of their wow. age senior. So they have a product that would enable a very friendly kind of send the elderly the photos and communication to keep them in touch. But on the caretaker side, there's a web service that enables them to see if are they taking their medicine. Did they open the refrigerator today? It's not only web services, but it has sensors built in that can sense their behavior. It's kind of the idea of the old smokestack. The founder has an aged senior, and he gives the analogy of, well, in the old days, I used to, you know, look up the corner on the hill and see if Grandpa started his fire today,
right.
And I
and
could
you
see
knew
the
everything
smoke.
Was okay.
And I knew everything right. was okay. So that's one that I'm wow. excited about that has a really significant business potential, because it's a really big market opportunity, but on the other hand has some real value to society.
Is that something that's going to be web-based, or is it going to be an actual device that will go into the
Well,
home?
There'll be a device, either their proprietary device, which they have an alpha of, or they'll embed it into other devices, mm-hmm. but then there will be a web service, an internet service that the caretaker can access.
What exactly is your responsibility with the organization?
Well, I have served as part of what we call the Venture Catalyst team, which is kind of a term, sort of like we play a little bit of a role of a venture investor, in that we are looking for the same kind of high growth attributes for a good return to our state. And we believe that successful companies make for success for ATDC. But we catalyze them by helping them access customers, access investors. So what we do with them is help them review their business strategy, look at their milestones.
But are you that person?
Yeah,
I've
played that role, yes, and I'm part of that team. But recently I have stepped back a little bit from that role. I've been in that role for about 6 years, and I'm wearing this role of Director of Business Development, which is to help us do more, to leverage, for us to be able to reach more companies by changing our business model a bit. Mm-hmm. We have a very intensive, let's help 40-some companies at any given time, go deeply with them, and so, which is great, but it's a little bit limited when our resources are pretty constrained. The state is not giving us a lot more money. So I'm looking at different models, such as a program that I just ran called Cap Venture, where we're able to serve 15 more companies through a program, and we're partnering with the Technology Association of Georgia to be able to take our expertise to a broader set of companies. So uh-huh. that's one of the roles that I'm playing for ATDC.
So you're prospecting new clients as well as helping the existing people that are
Yeah,
in
not only prospecting them, but trying to really take our expertise and our community, our connections, and make them available to a wider set of companies.
But at a different level than
yeah,
the ones that are
sure,
actually in
sure, at a different level. Yeah. But some of those companies, we're also in that process prospecting for high potential companies, and perhaps getting involved with them a little bit earlier than we would otherwise, and nurturing them a little bit more. And so through this program that we just ran, Cap Venture, we have three or four companies that are now prospects for becoming ATDC members.
Is this something that I've been reading a lot, that a lot of small companies are kind of bootstrapping nowadays as opposed to maybe, what, 5-10 years ago where everybody was looking for venture capital? Are you finding that also?
Well, certainly in the dot-com boom, there, you know, you could have an idea on a napkin and...
I've tried that. I have a napkin here.
And a lot of people were putting money into ideas. There was a kind of a sense of euphoria around the opportunity to be an investor, and it was sexy and hot, and everybody wanted in because people were making a quick buck. But obviously a lot of people took a bath on that, and so it's only the real investors that have stuck around. And to be candid, the environment for early stage capital is quite tough. I don't know that that's – I think it's probably more typical over the past 25 years for it to be that way. Certainly the 2000 period was a blip. But, yeah, bootstrapping is a requirement unless you happen to have made a certain investor like a Nora Mosley a lot of money, in which case they will take – a risk on somebody who's made them a lot of money,
right?
Because they're betting on the jockey.
They'll be able to do it again.
Right. So, in the absence of having that track record of having made investors real money, and ideally having done it multiple times, you have to take your company and prove it out, get some traction, and then an investor will take a more serious look.
And that's what you guys do. You help a person or a company, you know, by providing all the resources all in one place, and it's kind of collaborative.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So out of this incubator, someone like Sanjay comes out, it sounds like, and I'm anxious to get to Sanjay to just see how the two of you, you know, came to meet, and also about his company. He's the founder and CEO of Izenda, and which was one of the top 40 most innovative companies in Georgia. That's pretty impressive. Grew out of the ATDC and grew over 300%. That's very impressive. Sanjay, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you for having me here.
So tell us, you were in the ATDC incubator.
Yes.
I look at it as like an egg that becomes a chicken. That's how I'm thinking of this incubator process. Tell us about it.
Well, it's all about growth, and growth needs nurturing. One thing we have gotten from ATDC is just all the different people that are there talking to the different entrepreneurs, and you know, Lance Weatherby is our venture catalyst. And, you know, every time we have a dilemma, we kind of run down to his office and, hey, Lance, this is what's going on, and he'll know somebody that can help. And a core part of growing a company, a lot of people don't want to take advice or listen and think, you know, I know what I'm doing. But really, it's all about taking a lot of good advice from people who've done it before. When you're in a hyper-growth company, it's a little bit different from most small organizations, and of course, much different from being in a large organization if you've had that kind of experience. And really, I've found that, you know, talking to people who've been through that has been just fundamentally a part of our growth.
Now, when you started out, you didn't necessarily this was one of your options, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have went by yourself and just kind of battled, right?
Sure.
So what made you go the route with the ATDC?
Well, we looked at the program and some of the different companies that were in there and success they've been having, and we knew, you know, we just had to be a part of this.
It was a good fit.
Definitely.
And so take us through your process of you said, okay, we're going to go with them. What'd you have to do to pitch them? You had a business plan at that point? Or was it just still an idea in your head?
Well, we were actually a company that grew out of a consulting business. So we had a consulting business for many years and had built a company and some IP and some ideas out of that. We had released kind of the first version of our product. And
so you had clients.
We had a little bit of traction with some big companies, went to ATDC, said, you know, here's what we're all about, here's what's happening, went through, you know, process and eventually got into the program.
Now, from that initial conversation and the initial business plan, is your company still doing that, or has it evolved a little bit?
We've definitely changed our model. Initially, I mean, what our product does is it allows, you know, ordinary people to create custom business reports out of their systems that they have at work. And originally, it was very much about just being a Web 2.0 report designer, things like that. But what we have turned into is really more of a framework for allowing, you know, integrated reporting, navigation, security with an existing system. And so now instead of HART going to the CIO and saying, hey, you should really be using this type of tool, you know, giving it to, you know, your advanced users, now it's really about making it a lot more democratic, letting everyone in your organization who's accessing an application, instead of looking at it one record at a time, go in and create reports and, more importantly, be able to customize those reports. So to kind of give you a sense of what that means, right now in most places, people have access to some reporting, but they can't really make any changes. It's not dynamic. It'd be kind of like if you had a blog, and every time you wanted to add something to a blog or maybe change a spelling, you'd have to go call IT, and it'd take 3 weeks to get that done. That's kind of the status quo right now.
Right.
And our framework kind of lets you go, you know what, I have a meeting in 15 minutes. Let me go in, make a change to a report. I have time to print it out and get to the conference room.
That's a good analogy. That's one that even someone like myself can understand. Tell us, how did it come about? I know all these great ideas start somewhere on a napkin, in a dorm room. How did this idea come about?
So the company actually did start in a Georgia State dorm room. And I went to Georgia Tech for my undergrad and State for MBA. And that's where the consulting part of the business, we did that for a while, created a first product, went out to the market with that, just couldn't get the price points we want, and then eventually turned it into what now has become iZenda Reports. And a big part of it for us was, you know, kind of really building a virtual anytime, anywhere organization. So to give you some examples of that, you know, we're able to engage with customers all over the world and all over the country without having to have salespeople fly around to different cities or have office buildings, you know, everywhere we have customers. And I'll kind of give you an example of the extreme we maybe take it to sometimes is a couple of weeks ago at a meeting here in town. And then I had another meeting with an important customer, and the only time they had was right after the first meeting. I was actually using, you know, we have a laptop with mobile broadband, and we use a product called GoToMeeting to, you know, kind of do web meetings, kind of virtual presentations. I was actually able to do that presentation to a room with a projector while I was in a car on a cell phone. And I wasn't, of course, driving. But so it was very much about, you know, being virtual, not needing office space and people flying around all over the country, being able to, you know, sell, market, and support just completely over web-based technologies, whether we're, you know, now we have a large physical space, but, you know, originally we ran this thing out of coffee shops and all sorts of things. You just can save so much time that way by saying, you know, no matter where I am, and, you know, I can do something useful. And not only that, we've also been able to leverage a lot of great talent all over the country. We have someone in Ohio that runs some of our business development marketing. We have someone, you know, helps with our quality who actually lives in Louisiana. He's actually a rocket scientist, to give you an idea of his level of capability, but he's helping us with our QA process.
Now, what was the initial pain that you guys saw companies having that you thought you could solve?
What their eureka moment was really, I was doing a forecasting project for a government client here in Atlanta, and I still remember the room and everything in there. Basically, we said, okay, well, this is good. We need a report out of their system. I looked at it. Well, this is great. I just need one more field added to this report, and then I can get you, you know, everything sometime next week. And
right.
They all kind of looked at each other, and there was just a silence in the room, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. And then, you know, called the next day, and what I found out was last time someone had wanted a report, just a single field added to report, it had literally taken 5 months.
5 months.
And so what we
the
have...
The whole thing would grind to a halt because of one field.
You needed one field, and because of the relationships with vendors and contractors and requisition of budgets and just all that stuff that's involved, that whole process just took a very long time. And so we kind of focused our technology on being able to take those. We're not all about creating the biggest, fanciest, most complex analysis out there. It's about, I have a report. I want it a little bit different.
Right.
And I need it in the next 5 minutes.
So does your product take all this data and kind of aggregate it that enables all the different departments then to access it?
Well, where we're really focusing is on the single department or single application scenario. So, you know, you may be a salesperson, you have a CRM system,
mm-hmm.
and you have all this data in there, and you may have a couple reports, but for the most part, you get some basic stuff, and you look at your data one record at a time. If you really want to know something like, well, I want to see a trend of you know, let me. I want a nice chart of where number of calls I've done every day and where that's trending. That's something you would normally have to go back to IT and say, hey, can you get me this report?
Oh, that's a limitation of the CRM?
That's a limitation of almost all, you know, kind of web-based, on-demand, you know, software service applications today. Mm-hmm. And where things have changed is, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the only people that really had databases were really big organizations.
Right.
And they could afford to have, you know, a team of gatekeepers that went in and really managed and manipulated that data.
Right.
Well, today, every department, every small business has two or three applications that they use.
Right.
And they just can't afford to hire a dozen people to go manage that data
for you.
Each
individual.
Right.
So how do you integrate that?
Well, our process is, you know, we make it very simple. And one of the things that's different from us and some bigger tools out there is, you know, it only takes a couple of days to get in there. So we have – now, you do need to have a technical person or a programmer to kind of glue it into your system. But once they're done and maybe they've created a few sample reports, you know, you hand it over to the users and they kind of take it from there. And you know, it's funny, with our customers, we hardly ever talk about the power of information or why it's so valuable to have access. People understand.
Right, that's a given. They know that.
People know that. Our customers buy from us because the users won't stop calling them.
Right.
They literally, the phone rings off the hook, and they have other things they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And they buy our technology to make it so that the users and the IT can be independent when, you know, all you really want is a lot of little customizations to reports.
Right, and then this enables you to get that kind of level of customization.
Exactly.
What size customer do you deal with? Is it mid-sized businesses? Is there a sweet spot for you as far as an industry?
You know, we go everywhere from, you know, small two-man shops to we have customers in the Fortune 50 organizations where we're really focusing on the single department or single system scenarios where you're going to have usually between 50 and maybe 1,000 users. So it can be a department inside of very large organizations, and we have customers like Fidelity, WellPoint, you know, JCPenney that have done exactly that.
So what kind of advice would you have for somebody that's got a great idea and looking to start another company? What would your advice be to them? What have you learned?
Besides call Cindy, I guess.
No kidding. Before you call Cindy, what kind of advice would you give that person?
So the capital markets, as Cindy said, are, you know, very different than they were, you know, a couple years ago. But if you look at software in general, I mean, venture capital is really only a 30-year-old industry in some ways. And most of the great software companies today were really born out of small consultancies that kind of grew, and they didn't take the venture capital in until, you know, they were in a much more advanced stage. So one is just, you know, be able to grow that way, stay lean, and this is more possible today than it was even 5 years ago. There's so many tools, like we use GoToMeeting, and you can get laptops with broadband wireless connections, and there's, you don't really need a big fancy office space right away. You know, we got one now, and we love it. We just upgraded to a bigger space at ATDC, and I can finally walk around my office and talk to myself if I need to. So that's been great. But for, you know, most of our history, we were just at customer sites a lot, driving around. We had some space, but we were hardly ever there. And so definitely stay lean. Don't make the big investments that, you know, a large company might have until you really have to. At the same time, don't be cheap. I see a lot of other entrepreneurs, you know, they'll spend an hour trying to save, you know, $10 to $50. And your time, especially as the founder and CEO, is much more valuable than just trying to, you know, save nickels and dimes here and there. So you have to make the investments. But we've spent, you know, much more than we ever would have had to on things like everyone has mobile broadband. We have a phone system that allows, you know, people in multiple locations to work together, transfer calls, instantly conference. And, you know, it was hard. It was hard going in and spending, you know, what it feels like the price of a car for just being able to call each other when you're used to cell phones, but right. That's the kind of investment that's really worth it. So, you know, I would say, one, stay lean, but don't be cheap. Make the investments where they're going to make sense. Secondly, I would say, you know, really think about everyone as a partner. Now, initially, we kind of had this partner program, and we had, like, gold and platinum levels and all that. And what we ended up realizing is, you know, pretty much everyone we work with is a partner. And a lot of, you know, the newer deals now come from people who we've worked with. And instead of just saying, okay, look, this is a transaction, let's make a deal, close it, and get the money and run, you know, really help them as a strategic partner grow their business. And we've also changed our model to where, you know, people start small, they do these little projects. We're very supportive because when we are, they succeed, they want to buy more users, they want to move this to different projects. Even some of our larger customers, you know, there were times in the early stages of the company where literally, I mean, you know, we were up till 2 a.m. helping customers out. And what's happened in all the situations, that has turned into other customers, referrals, mm-hmm. more users, more projects within the company. And so partnership is a very different model than, you know, let me just sell something take the money, move on to the next customer.
Right, so it's like referral-based, like your customers beget your next customer.
It's referral-based, you know, within the organization. It's all about a concept, you know, I like to call customer success. Mm-hmm. So it's not about we did a deal. It's more about, you know, this customer is successful.
Right. We help them, and they want to also help other people in their company. So you probably get, once you get in one department, it probably migrates over to other departments?
Definitely.
That's great advice. That's great advice. I have one last question for Cindy. That's okay.
All right.
I look at this whole process as she's got these, it's almost like babies that she's raising to adults. And out of these companies, I mean, tell me, what's the most exciting part? I mean, to watch companies like Sanjay's grow, you know, from nothing to being something. What's the best part of that for you?
Well, I would have to say that just to be a little bit more clarifying, although I do agree that there's a lot of incubation going on, we also have very, very successful entrepreneurs that come back to our incubator because not only do what they want to learn and benefit, but they want to give back. So we have a mix of entrepreneurs. So, but what's most exciting is seeing somebody like Sanjay, who's a relatively first-timer, young, hungry, wants to soak everything in, is really aggressive, but is open-minded, seeking out advice.
It's coachable.
And so you see the transformation. You see the learning. You see the individual. And I personally, you know, when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to work on Wall Street or to teach for America. So I personally enjoy the process of coaching and seeing the learning process occur, and particularly in individuals. So what's most exciting is the individual transformation. Yes, the company and its growth and its ability to succeed in the midst of a lot of barriers and a lot of challenges and a lot of obstacles, but really what I enjoy the most is the individual entrepreneurs and the founders especially that we have a lifelong relationship to.
That's great. Why don't we go through their website? What's the best way for someone to reach you, Cindy?
Well, you can reach me through 404-894-3575 or cindy.cheatham@atdc.org. We have, in terms of companies interested in our incubator, we have a web submit. We also have a monthly program, Tag ATDC Entrepreneurs. It happens every first Thursday. The next one is coming up on December 6th.
Okay.
That is open to anybody. There is a fee for non-TAG members, but that's a great way to get to know us and to participate in the technology community.
And the website is atdc.org.
That's right? Correct.
And Sanjay?
You can reach me at Sanjay, S-A-N-J-A-Y, at izenda.com, I-Z-E-N-D-A. And you can go to our website. We actually have a test drive of our product if you guys want to check that out.
Oh, so you can sample it?
Definitely.
And that's izenda, I-Z-E-N-D-A.com.
Mm-hmm.
We've run out of time.
Well, that's what happens every week.
One last thing I need to clarify with you, Lee. We're available now via iTunes, but you know what the genre is?
What?
Dance.
Perfect.
So unless you're planning on busting out some moves here this morning, we need to get that changed.
We'll work on that.
We're more talk radio than dance.
You think?
Although I think the doctor might be busting out in some moves soon. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving from the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.